This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا إله إلا الله وصلى الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وكلام محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وكلام محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آل محمد. Can the brothers please move forward inshallah for space. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له جل عن الشبيه والمثيل والكفء والنظير. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and prophets Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. My brothers and sisters, this month, this blessed month, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, a month in which he migrated from Mecca to Medina, a month in which he also passed to the highest companionship sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a month which also is symbolic of many important events that happened throughout Islamic history. It's important for us to continuously revive the meaning of the second part of the testimony of faith when we say La ilaha illallah and Muhammad is Rasulullah. Muhammad al-Rasulullah. What does that mean in our lives, and how do we actualize and apply it in our day-to-day life is important for us to continuously revive. And especially in a month when, if I were to ask you to remember and to give me some of your fond memories of the closest and most beloved people to you, the grandmother that would cook you a certain food that you can still taste, or the grandfather that would make dua for you and you were raised on their lap, or a mother or father that you had fond memories with of their care and their love and their affection. Some of you even mentioning this would have tears in your eyes. I want to remind us that An-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us is more beloved than the father that took care of us and held us our hand and walked distances until he would deliver us to school, work the whole day and night, and come to our beds crying over the fact that he couldn't see us. Or the mother that held us affectionately with her love and care and prayed for us more than even herself. An-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means to us more than that. An-Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means to us more than the children we love, more than anything in this life. And what does it mean to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's something that needs to be continuously revived in our hearts. Until you live it and you feel that experience yourself genuinely. It's not something someone can tell you. Can I teach you how to love your mother? Can I teach you how to love your father? Can I teach you how to love your children? How can someone teach you that love if it's not ingrained in your heart? How can you pass that on to your loved ones and your children, that attachment we have to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And that is why the way to do it is to remember and reflect of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done for us, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do for us, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to think about us over, and his concern for us. Those things, when you see the genuine love of someone for you, you begin to change. You begin to have an attachment and a connection, which we are direly and desperately in need of in America today. Our youth and those Muslims who are not here today, who are distant from even the masjid on Jumu'ah being a concern, is because this part is missing in their life. This actual connection to a physical manifestation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as the application of revelation. This is missing in people's lives. And when we insist on the ritualistic nature of Islam, without showing them this love, without showing them this connection, without showing them this genuineness, and this concern and history and love of knowing who this person was and what he has done for you, then of course you're going to take it for granted. Of course you're not going to have an actual relationship with it. It's very natural when those things do not exist. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, I remind you with a hadith in this Jumu'ah of what the Prophet ﷺ will go through for us on the Day of Judgment. Perchance, it will make us understand and increase our appreciation of this blessed man ﷺ. And Nabi ﷺ said, when the Day of Resurrection comes, people will surge with each other like waves. They will come to Adam and say to him, intercede for us with your Lord. Save us from what we're going through. Billions and billions of humanity running to whom? Who do you run for when you're in trouble? Your mother, your father. To save you. Help me. No matter what happens, even if you have trouble with your spouse and you're going to a failed relationship, who do you always turn to at the end of the day? Your father and your mother. And that's the case with all of humanity. We will be running towards our father and our mother. Adam and Hawa. And when we run towards him, on that day even our father will not be able to help us. He will say, I'm not fit for that. Go to Ibrahim. He is the close friend, the Khalil of Ar-Rahman. The close friend and companion of the Most Merciful. So they will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And all of humanity will say, intercede for us. And he will say, I am also not fit for that. Go to Musa, he is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly to. So they will go to Musa alayhi salam. They will say, you are Kalimullah, you're the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. You're the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala parted the seas, defied physics for. You're the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to be one of the chosen messengers. And Musa alayhi salam says, it's not for me. I am not fit for that. Go to Isa. For he is a soul created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by him personally. And when we go to Isa alayhi salam, and humanity goes to Isa alayhi salam, Al-Masih, the Messiah, Isa alayhi salam himself will say, I am not fit for that. And then all of humanity will turn to only one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then I will ask my Lord for permission, and he will give me permission. He will inspire with me words of praise, which I will praise him. Words I did not know how to do before. And he will say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise your head from prostration. Speak and intercede, and intercession will be given to you. Ask and you will be given, and it will be accepted. And he will say, go and bring forth everyone in whose heart there is the weight of a mustard seed or an atom, and they will be given intercession. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that day when everyone in humanity cares only for their own soul and their own self, including prophets, saying nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the only one that will be caring for all of us, saying ummati, ummati, my ummah, my ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoted as saying that these types of intercessions are many in number. But the Prophet ﷺ was given a choice. And the hadith that's narrated authentically by Abdullah ibn Umar and the Sunnah of Ibn Abi Asim, he says that the Prophet ﷺ said, I had a choice between the intercession and only half of my nation entering paradise. I was given a choice. Half of your nation will enter paradise, or you will get the shafa'ah. So I chose intercession, as it is more expansive than half of the ummah being entered into paradise. Do you think it is for the righteous and pure? No, rather it is for the sinners and those who considered themselves impure. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that my intercession, the vast majority of it, will be شَفَاعَتِي لِأَهِلْ كَبَائِرْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. The vast majority of my intercession are for those in my ummah who committed major sins. I want you to understand the love of the Prophet ﷺ to such an extent. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this, the Prophet ﷺ was given the glad tidings that his ummah will be taken care of. So he was given the glad tidings as well, that every time they send salah upon the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will give them 10 rewards and protections and preservations, more so just by sending one salah upon the Prophet ﷺ. You know what the Prashrit ﷺ did? He did sajda to shukr. Sajda to shukr, when you prostrate, thankfulness out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have done that recently anyway? Right? And the Prophet ﷺ was in sajda for such a long time, that Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala was sitting there waiting, and he found the Prophet ﷺ in sujood. He says, ظَنَنْتُهُ أَنْهُ قَدْ قُبِلْ. I thought he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, because how long he was in prostration thanking Allah for the station. Simply what? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will take care of your ummah. I want you to imagine that the worst sins you've done in your life. And I want you to think that even if Allah takes us accountable for one of them, we're gone, we're destroyed. If Allah treats us with His justice, none of us are going to survive. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, that it's a mercy of Allah that even the most righteous of this ummah commit sins. Because if they did not commit sins, their arrogance would make them end up in hell. The arrogance of the righteous would make them end up in hell. But their sins keep them humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone who's righteous, they're the most fearful of Allah over their sins. And they're the most merciful to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam over theirs. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on that day when he was doing sajda for such a long, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu thought he was dead, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He raised his head and he said, Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me safety in my ummah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sometimes if you think about it, cared more about us than we care about ourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said one day with Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a question that probably every woman has asked her husband. Do you make dua for me? Do you make dua for me? No, do you make personal dua for me? Not the general dua, Allah help the ummah. No, I want my name, I want my birthday, even if I want it specialized. And the Prophet ﷺ, bi abi huwa ummi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, of course, Aisha, I make dua for you. I say, oh Allah, forgive the sins of Aisha that she's done, and forgive the sins of Aisha that she will ever do. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, out of sheer happiness, I want to just look at the affection of Rasulullah ﷺ with his wife. You know how old he was? He was in his 60s. How many of us don't even have that affection with our own wives? That love that's there, that care, that acknowledgement. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had in his 60s. And he said to her, of course, Aisha, I say, Allah forgive your sins that you've done and the sins that you will do. And Aisha radiallahu anha was so happy that she fell in the lap of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in tears and happiness. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was surprised, said, Ya Rasulullah, Aisha, does this make you happy? And Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, said, Ya Rasulullah, not just the husband, you're not just the husband, but how can the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not make me happy? And then our Habib alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to her, Ya Aisha, if this makes you happy, know that I say this dua for all of my ummah and every single one of my sujood. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us make dua with companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our sujood? Every single sujood. Allahumma rizukni murafaqata habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us utter those statements out of genuine companionship and missing him alayhi salatu wa sallam like he did? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day in a gathering in Medina, he says, I miss my brothers. And the companions there are feeling happy. They say, Ya Rasulullah, are we your brothers? And the Prophet ﷺ says, no, you're my companions. The brothers are those who will come after me, and I haven't seen them. In authentic narration, he says about them, they are the ones that they are the most beloved to me. The companions ask why. And the Prophet ﷺ says, they would have given their wealth, their property, your Teslas, your cryptocurrency, your everything, in order to see me and spend time with me, and they can't. So that's why I love them the most, because they have that love in their hearts. Do we have that love, my brothers and sisters? Because that love is transformative, if it's real. Transformative meaning you weigh it against what you're doing in your life and you're like, well, is this worth it? Well, is this worth it? Is this worth giving up companionship with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Is this sin worth it? And you weigh it against love and you say, no, ya Allah, my love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means more to me. You give up your ego over some ridiculous grudge. This is not worth it. Allah says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one that will be with those who mend the relationships that have been cut off. So what is this worth it? This ego trip that I'm having? No, because the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is greater. Is it worth it not to apologize when I'm wrong? No, it's not worth it because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the best of you in my nation are the best to your families. And I'm the best to my family. This is what it means to be to have a transformative love, brothers. Because I can guarantee you, you can give all the statements of love to somebody. If you don't show it, they're going to finally say, where is it? Where's the actions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحِبِّكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to your people, your nation, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. May Allah azza wa jal grant us the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قول قول هذا السفر الله وليكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وسائر المسلمين. My brothers, my sisters, to actualize this transformative love, of course, starts with something very basic all of us know, which is to know the Prophet ﷺ. You can't love someone you don't know, no matter what you say. If you have not gone through the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you definitely, Rabi' al-Awwal is the time. Podcasts are plenty, books are plenty. Dedicate some time in your life. But also this transfers to more than I just listen to a podcast and I'm done with it. But as my teacher, Sheikh Ahmed al-Rashid in Medina, he said, the seerah is not something you read once and you finish. You read it until it becomes part of your blood. 1,000 times, 1,000 authors, many people, until it mixes. In the moments that you go through, you remember and analogize life events of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah protect our children if you lose a child. You remember the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that this child will wait for you at the gates of Jannah. It comes like this naturally. Why? Because as if you're remembering a loved one. And if that's not happening, if the Prophet ﷺ is not the first thing on your mind, then you haven't read the Prophet ﷺ. I'm sorry. It's not information. It's not a class. It's a dastur. It's a constitution of life. To know Rasulullah's life and to continuously do it until you pass away. And that's why one of my teachers, Shaykh Rahmatullah Al-Arkani, 93-year-old scholar of hadith from Burma, the last of his generation, the students of Shaykh Hussain Al-Madani, rahimahullah ta'ala. When I visited him in the hospital a few days before he passed away, this was the most humblest man I've ever met in my life. I said, Shaykh, what can we do for you besides dua? He says, I appreciate that you read hadith to me to enliven the life of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I learned from you. 93 years old, he passed away 3 days after that, and the 17th of Ramadan is buried in the Baqi with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because he lived his life. So Allah blessed it to live that life for him in the barzakh, in the grave, and inshallah in the hereafter. We have to understand that as well. Second component, my brothers and sisters, is that has to be enlivened with your families as well. You can't say, I'm tired from work all day, I've been working. This is called men in Islam. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Do not destroy your good and righteousness by reminding people of your favors and harming people with your words. You can't say that I'm tired all day. You know what that's doing? That's negating the righteousness you've done. That's an obligation. You have no right to complain. I've been busy all day cooking and cleaning and taking care. That's your obligation, sister. You can't use that against your children or your husband. You have to put your smile on. You have to take care of something more important than your job, which is your children. Put on that face. Spend time with them reading seerah. Read Riyadh al-Saliheen. One hadith a day. Discuss it with your family. How we can implement it. This is how we enliven the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And lastly, my brothers and sisters, the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ is had by constantly remembering. Salawat, I feel, is not done enough by us. Salawat is like something you do. Maybe we're singing nasheed, or very rarely. But this is something we need to revive, to just spend moments in salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama salli ala Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama barik ala Ibrahim until the end. Or simply, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That's it. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And it's seeing this over and over again. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to a companion, Ya Rasulullah, I dedicate all of my dua to your salawat and salam. What will Allah do for me? He says that Allah will forgive you your sins and take care of your worries. Forgive your sins, take care of your worries. Any worry that you have, Allah will take care of. One of my teachers, this man has possibly 25 million viewers of people who watch his da'wah shows. And he had some heart condition. He was taken to a Muslim country. After the surgery they had on his heart, this nurse, he said, you wouldn't recognize if she's Muslim other than knowing that this is a Muslim country. Was taking care of him when all of a sudden his heart telemetry dropped. Meaning this is a very serious situation. He might have another surgery or possibly die. You know what this woman said? May Allah bless her and grant her Jannah. She said to him, Salli ala al-Nabi ya Salih. Send salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I started saying salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The doctor's rushing, code, whatever. And when they get to him, they look at the monitor and they say, what's wrong? Wait, why did you call us? Everything was normal. I have friends, they said that, you know, this hadith has always been said to me in my life. But two things that I've done, I swear to you, I have seen the effects of which in ways I can never imagine how Allah has solved my problems and dealt with my worries. Quran in the mornings, and daily Quran in the mornings, and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ as much as I can. May Allah allow us to be of those people that send salawat as much as we can. Ya Rabbi Alameen. Allahumma izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur ikhwan al-mustadafin fi kulli makan. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من رجس الصهاينة المحتلين يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا الصلاة في المسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في أفغانستان وفي اليمن وفي سوريا وفي العراق وفي بورما وعليك بالظالمين على إخواننا في أويغور يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا مرافقة حبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى جنة الخلد اللهم اجمعنا به مع آبائنا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا اللهم ارزقنا حبه واتباع عمله وسنته يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن خافك واتقاك في اتباع سنة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وآقم الصلاة وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.